All right. Well, as you start off a presentation like this, there's so many different strategies you can go down. You can tell a funny, witty story. You can, tell something that happened during your week. And I'm going to use a little known strategy of called playing the sympathy card. I want to tell you a little bit about my last couple of days so that anything I do during this presentation that offends you, you have sympathy for me in advance because I'm not thinking clearly. So Thursday night, I was woken up. My daughter Eden, who sleeps in the same room with my son Creed, comes running in and saying, "Oh man, all whatever's breaking loose in the bedroom in there." So my wife and I jump up out of bed. We go in there, and here's a kid who my daughter had her headphones on, so didn't hear all this was going on. Had basically been throwing up the entire night, and he's a little guy in his crib and basically been playing around it and stuff like that. So I kind of looked at my wife, and we've been through this before, so I said, "Do you want the bath or do you want the cleanup?" And I let her pick, as a good husband that I am, and she said, "I'll take the bath." So she took the little one downstairs, and I proceeded to grab everything, put it in there. And that's when you have a family with 10 kids, you start wondering, all right, is this something he ate? Or is this a sickness? Because when you have a family that large, you're in for two rides if it's a sickness. Either the one where every single person in the household has it at once, which has its pluses and its minuses, or you're in for the slow ride where one person gets it, and viruses mutate, and if you've never been in a large family, you may not realize that you can actually get the same virus through your house twice and even once three times for our house, an entire month where it just kept going through. So we weren't sure what we were expecting here. You know, of course, we're praying that maybe we just fed him some bad food. How bad is that as a parent that you're praying, "Oh, I hope I just fed him something really rotten." We get them all cleaned up or whatever, and the next day, lo and behold, we got the first kind, which is there's four of us down with the count. And so when you're basically tag teaming with your wife, you're trying to put two of them in bathrooms to keep it from going through the rest. It was just absolutely miserable. So we were down on Friday, and then my wife yesterday went to Grove City with my son. So they left. And I was left alone, home alone with this. More people were getting sick. I still wasn't feeling great. I was trying to practice the sermon. Eventually got to the point where it was like, all right. She finally came home late Saturday night. And I'm like, we had a soccer game last night. We did all of that. And I'm like, I'm just going to get a good night's sleep, just going to have a great good night's sleep before I get up and have to give this presentation tomorrow. Wouldn't you know it, 2 a.m., Creed, the one who started this whole thing, he's getting sick again. So he's throwing up, and I'm just looking at my wife like, "Are you kidding me?" And then my other son, Zion, who had somehow made it through not getting sick, he comes in, "Hey, Dad," right there, and you're just like, you're just looking to say, "Wow, when I am weak, you are strong," and wow. Yeah, so it was a couple hours of that, and I do praise the Lord for having. I don't know what you guys do when you're all hyped up and thinking, "Oh man, it's 4 o'clock. I haven't been sleeping that great. I gotta get up tomorrow and do this thing." I turn on there's an audio Bible I have. It's a British guy who's got a very monotone voice, perfect for kind of soothing you and going to sleep. And I turned that on, started at Matthew 1 by Matthew 5. I don't remember anything else. Went to sleep, and I'm here. So that's my sympathy card. Not sure how your week went, but that was at least the last couple of days of mine. So we're going to do a couple of different things today. First of all, I'm going to give you kind of like a little mini sermon about Romans 12, 4 through 8 that we're going to go through. And then we're going to slide, hopefully with a good transition, into the building presentation that some of you saw. We've modified it a little bit, taken out some of the jokes that didn't play well to the church group. Taking those things out, and we're going to slide right into that. We're going to get through that, and then we'll have a little Q&A at the end. So let's jump right into our verses here. In Romans 12, 4 through 8, I'm reading out of the NLT here. "Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. So the first thing that jumps out at me here, we have Paul writing to the church at Rome, and he is writing to them, telling them about all these things, which would make you think, oh, he's got to have visited this church, right? He's talking about these specific gifts and other things like this. Hey, we know some of you must be generous. We know some of you this. But the truth is, as he's writing this in Romans 12, which is a really important set of verses. I mean, everything in the Bible is important, but this is a set of verses in Romans 12 that's teaching us how that we should interact with other Christians. Romans 12 is a bunch of very famous passages going on there, and this is excerpts from there. So as he's teaching these Roman people, the people of the church in Rome, how they should interact with other people, he's never met them. He's never been there. So how does he know that he can say these things? And I can stand on the fact that because I know in other places that he wrote, you know, he wrote to Colossians, he wrote in Corinthians, he wrote in Ephesians, and in Romans, he used this metaphor of the body, and I know that he was able to do this because this is universal. So I think we can take these truths that we're going to learn today and that these are universal truths that apply to all churches. So even though this was written a long time ago to a very specific church, I think it applies to all churches. So we want to start with that. So he uses this metaphor of the body. And he uses this in all of those other ones as well. Now, why would he do that? And I think it's something we all have in common, right? We all know we've all been sick. And we all know that when things aren't functioning well, you're not as effective as you could be. You don't have as good a mood. You're not as clear thinking. When the body is not performing well, you don't perform well. And the same holds true for the church. And I think he, led by the Holy Spirit, could write this because he knew that we would be able to identify with this. We all know that when we're not at our best, that things aren't functioning well. And the same holds true for the body of Christ. So let's look a little bit more into the metaphor of the body. And I'm not sure Paul would have had this information, but we have this information. So we're going to dive into it. So your body is made up of over 100 trillion cells. Each and every one of you. Just amazing. Your next level of organization with these cells together are specialized tissues. There's four different types of specialized tissues in your body. The next level of organization above that, where you have more than one specialized tissue coming together to serve a certain purpose, are called organs. And you have at least 80 of those in your body. In fact, they just identified a new one that they didn't know about. And so you have about 80 organs in your body. Those organs then come together to produce 12 systems in your body, like your circulatory system, your digestive system, your nervous system, and so forth. And all this comes together to see the one body that you present to others. So you are made up of a lot of individual different parts, and such is the way with the church as well. We may show is, that's that Webster Bible Church, right? But that Webster Bible Church is made up of a number of pieces as well. If we start at the cellular level, it's made up of individuals, all of you. We don't have quite 100 trillion here today, but we're working towards it. We've got, you know, whatever we have here. So we have individual cells. The next level of organization typically is a family unit. These are the people that you stay in the same house with. And then we have specialized groups on top of that. That's kind of like the organs where some of these family units and stuff come together. Our AV group, the missions team and so forth, these specialized group. Then we kind of have some of the systems level. I like to view the deacons. I was trying to think, okay, what is the deacon? What are the deacons? What system are we talking about here? And I think we're talking about the immune system. When I looked at the definition of the immune system, they're the ones that are kind of watching out for bad things coming into the church. And also, if bad things are starting to happen, they kind of go and they attack it and they take it out and make sure that the church is functioning well. So those are the deacons. We also have the elders. I kind of view them as closely as possible to the nervous system. They're kind of there to process all the information going on and say, okay, this is where our resources need to be. These are the decisions that need to be made and so forth. So there's, we have some systems. And then one of our most important systems, which I have a slide on in a minute, so I won't spend a lot of time on, are our small groups. And we'll dive into that in a minute. I want to zoom in on one circulatory or one system in the body because I want to relate it to small groups here. And your circulatory system at the center of it or at the heart of it is your heart. Your heart can pump blood, has enough pressure to pump blood four stories high. It pumps that blood through 100,000 miles of blood vessels, each and every one of you. Not only do you have 100 trillion cells, you've got 100,000 miles of blood vessels inside of you. The circulatory system's primary purpose is to transport nutrients and make sure all the body parts are fed. It also helps in stabilizing temperature, pH, and in general, it just makes your body maintain homeostasis, which is just a fancy word of saying keeping it regular and normal. And one other fact, I didn't know where I was going to throw this in, but as I was looking up all these facts, I found out too that the average American will eat 8 spiders in your lifetime. Did you know that? I didn't know that before I started this. That has no bearing on the slides today, but I was like, that is really gross. That you've probably, and some of you have eaten more and some of you have eaten less, but 8 spiders. So we'll just move on. So the small groups, I've heard Pastor Matt, and I would agree with him, I refer to this as really the lifeblood of our church. This doesn't mean that it replaces Christ or anything like that. Obviously, he's the key center cornerstone. But within our church body, the small groups for Webster Bible Church are the lifeblood of our church. They're really the circulatory system. They help maintain homeostasis inside of our church. So I just kind of want to make a plug and say, if you are not partaking of small groups inside of Webster Bible Church, I feel like you're missing out on one of our vital systems that we believe is at the center of our church. There are 5 vital organs in your body: the brain, the kidney, the liver, the lungs, and the heart. Thank you. And I feel like if you're not part of small groups, you're maybe missing out on one of the vital organs, the vital systems that we have in our church. And in our 3E outline that we put out there, there's a tremendous amount of wisdom in there. I don't know how often people go and read that. Whenever I'm doing a presentation for the church or a sermon, I always go back and look at that because I was part of the group that really spent almost a year poring over, agonizing over every word and picking the right verses. And there's a lot of wisdom in there. Certainly no replacement for the Bible, but it's a nice, really overview of Christian living. And the tagline we had in there for small groups is, grow spiritually by spending time in the Word with your church family. And so as we go up to that next level, we talked about the cellular level, the tissue level, the organ level. We're at a major system level here with our small groups. You need to be plugged into that to make sure that these are the people you do life with. This is how we make sure that people are fed, not from a fed as far as, this is from a doing life together type of fed, where when you have problems and you need to share things, you know, I need to share with people that, my kids were throwing up all week and I'm really tired. And yeah, that happened to me too. You remember how the big fight I got into with my wife about that and that sort of thing? And just the real life things that happen, this happens inside of small groups. And it's very interesting that the verses that we picked for our 3 outline for small groups is Ephesians 4, 15 through 16, which is a set of these verses related to the body. So I'm going to read them to you here. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Now, thank you, Pastor Matt. You know, this is the first time I've had to do this where Pastor Matt's down there. It puts a little extra pressure on there. He's a really nice guy. So, I could summarize here. Really, I could save you this whole sermon, which I'm not going to do because I do have to be up here and fill the time, with this last sentence here. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow. Why? So that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. And we're told in 1 Peter that everybody's been given special gifts. You are here at this time and place right now at Webster Bible Church for a purpose. And I want to ask you, are you fulfilling that purpose? Are you taking your spiritual gifts, your natural talents, are you applying them somewhere? We have lots of needs. We have nursery workers. We have AV. We have various committees people can serve on. We have deacons. We have other things. We have people to help clean this. There's people that greeted you today. There's people that help serve you food. When it snows out, which happens here occasionally in Rochester, people make sure that the walks have ice on, or the de-icer on them, and are shoveled and snowblowed and that sort of thing. There's plenty of places. And you know what? If somebody doesn't do their job that God has placed them here to do, the whole body doesn't function well. And that's true on a number of different levels. So I just want to exhort to you guys and gals, are you plugged into the spot you're supposed to be plugged into? We feel everybody should be plugged into small groups. That's true of our deacons, our elders, everybody. That's just one of those key things. You got to be getting the nutrients that are involved in that. But there's other smaller systems and organs and tissues and so forth that need help. So if you have specific things that you're good at, or you just don't even know what the needs are, make sure you see a deacon or an elder and ask them, how can I get plugged in? Because as each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow. If I'm not getting the nutrition I need, I could be doing everything else right. My body is not going to grow. It's not going to be healthy. The whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. So the verses that we started with, see, this really was a mini sermon. I'm almost done here. We're going to be heading into the presentation. Hebrews 10, 24 through 25. Let's tie it back into our first verses that we learned. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. And I want to pull two words out of this that I want you to focus on. Motivate and encourage. So we talked about small groups where we do life together. But why do we get together? Well, our primary purpose for getting together, as we know from other scriptures, is to worship the Lord. This is a worship service. Our primary purpose is to point people to Him and to worship Him. That's why we have songs and that sort of thing. But the other reason is we're here to motivate each other. This also happens in small groups, but it happens here too. To motivate and encourage. Sometimes we're motivated by what the pastor's saying. Sometimes we're motivated by what's happening out in the lobby. And we're also encouraged by what we're, at least we should be encouraged. So this is why the Bible tells us, why do we even have a facility? This is the transition part. Don't miss it. Why do we even have a facility? Because we need to get together. I think he's chastising people. We don't know who the author of Hebrews is. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do. I think he's chastising. Say, look, you know that there's these people, they're saying they're Christians or whatever, but they're not getting together and meeting and encouraging and motivating each other. You need to be doing that. You need to be getting together as a worship body. This is why this is part of the E in our brochure that says, attend worship service. Why do I have to go to church? This is why. There's more reasons, but this is why. You need to come to be motivated, to encourage, and maybe you are the motivator and the encourager. You need to come together and do that. So we need to have a place to do that. And I'm going to go through now a little bit of the history of how we got here to our particular facility we have. And thankfully, I had a wonderful chat with Eddie this morning. And he, as the church historian unofficially, gave me a lot more detail that hopefully we'll sprinkle into there as we're going through. One other thing we're going to try here today is, as I'm speaking about these things, about the facility, you may have questions that come up. And of course, at any time later after the service, you can see a deacon, an elder, whoever. You can email the elders at WebsterBible.org, and you can get your question answered. But if you'd like it to potentially be answered for everybody, we're not going to do hands, text your question. This is a temporary number. This is not something that, you know, we're going to store your phone number, completely anonymous. And we're going to have some of our helpers up here in the nervous system up there. They're going to put those on some of the questions up at the end, and we're going to answer them live. I feel like it's kind of like a call-in radio show, right? You're on the air now. You won't really be. we're going to, you know, so if you send anything inappropriate, it's not making it up there. So I know, Matt, you're thinking about that. So not this Matt. Oh, maybe. So text your questions to that, and then if they make the top 5 or 10, we'll put them up there. So as you have questions, as we're going through, you text them there. The questions that don't get put up there that are appropriate, we will send out to the entire church with answers. So they will all get answered. We just may not have time to answer them today. So let's look a little bit at the Webster Bible Church history. And I know you might not be able to read these with a small font, but I'm going to go through them for you. So in 1958, Webster Bible was organized as a worship assembly, and I'm told that they met in a house out on the corner out here. In 1960, they incorporated and took on the official name, so that's when you actually could call them Webster Bible Church. And I'm told that they actually met, they were a basement church that was meeting in what the current offices are there. It had a flat roof on it. So, and that was a popular time for bomb shelters, so maybe that could have doubled as a bomb shelter. I really thought that was going to play better. No? Okay. All right. Well, I didn't try that one at the small group meeting. So in 1966, they built the first floor of the chapel, which is where the youth group meets today. So that was the next big renovation that took place there. In 1978, they added an educational building, and I'm told that that was actually a gymnasium out there. What's now our lobby, and the second floor was a gymnasium on top of an educational building, which butted up to the church sanctuary that they had that the youth group meet in. So that was done in 1978. And then in 1984, they put this on, which was a multi-purpose use building. It was actually a gym / sanctuary. Some speakers were built and some other things like that. And that's when this was added. In 2000 was the major renovation, and that's when this was turned into a permanent sanctuary. Some of the second floor and stuff, was all that was redone as a lobby, nursery. Up in the other area, we have the cafeteria, the kitchen, the gymnasium. All of that was built, and it was a tremendous effort where the congregation came together, raised a bunch of money, borrowed a bunch of money, and then paid it off very quickly. In 2012, our last renovation thing we did, we took the lobby area out there and repurposed it as our convergence area that you see today with the way that it currently looks today. What are we on top of today here? This was a nice drone picture that was taken. You probably can't see it too well up there, but we are on 19.7 acres of land. The facility that we have after all of that history, so that kind of helps you understand how we got here. We're at 51,300 square feet of building space. That's quite a bit. There's 2,400 square feet in the parsonage right across the way there. Also, because that was done in 2000, we've also, for the most part, have been sitting on 18 years of wear and tear. Some of you who are brand new to the church may not know that for most of those years, there was a school here, and thousands of children helped destroy the place over the time. You know, there was lots of wear and tear that was going on here. I got a nice little picture here representative of that. We've also had just the aging of things. A lot of us own houses. We know things like roofs and other things like that, HVAC units and other things, just over time wear out and die. But as tying it back in with the sermon, people are brought here for a specific purpose. Now, it's your choice whether or not you act on that specific purpose with your specific talents. And I want to tell you one story that kind of leads us to where we're at now. So last year, Bill Whitaker was retiring, and he has done just an absolute tremendous job of maintaining this facility, seeing us through that 2000 upgrade and renovation and all the things there. Just a tremendous job that he's done. But it was time for him to move on of his own accord. Around that same time, some new people came, eventually became members of our church that drive a long distance, Paul and Nancy Fordham. We also, last year, were going to be installing a new youth pastor, and that youth pastor needed to live in the parsonage. So Paul had become very burdened. The Lord had placed on him, you know, through the Holy Spirit, placed on him a burden for the facilities of Webster Bible Church. So we knew he had many skills in that area, so we had him check out the parsonage. And as they went through, we saw it was in a major state of disrepair. So we decided as elders, as the nervous system, to say, okay, we're going to form, this, unfortunately, our body can't do this for the most part, we're going to form a new organ here, and we're going to make a facilities committee that's going to start tackling some of this wear and tear and other things happening on the property. So the phase one that they did, because of the urgency of our new youth pastor needing to live there, was the parsonage. And what a tremendous job they did. And this is a good reminder that you can see this firsthand. You might not be able to see the pictures great here. You're going to be able to, right after the church, head over there, do a quick walkthrough, see the work that these people did. You might have seen some of the visible things on the outside where a group of people got together as a body, bunch of little organisms up there, bunch of tissues up there, you know, ripping off the roof and doing that sort of thing. But then after that, inside, so much other work was done. And all of the materials were fully paid for with no borrowing. And the labor was donated by the people who participated in that. And I do want to give them a round of applause for that, because that's just absolutely amazing. And I encourage you to go over there and see that firsthand. But that was phase one. Remember I said there was 51,300 square feet here, and there was 2,400 square feet over there? So let's go into some of the other things that are happening here. So we had Paul, we said, all right, that was great what you guys did there. Why don't you look at our bigger, the 51,300 square foot, and tell us what are some of the things that are really going to start causing us problems. So the first thing I'm called to tell you to look up, right, is right above us. This is the sanctuary. You're really not going to see anything, actually, but other than roof and occasional, maybe some tiles that I'll draw your attention to that show this. But we have a major roof problem here. There's been, I wish we would have gotten a video of this or some pictures, but there's been times where Pastor Matt's come in here and there's literally water pouring into the pews. We have a major problem up there. You can see kind of a picture of what's going on. We have a couple of HVAC units up there, and then we have a flat roof, and it's just in need of being recoated. And that is one of our primary things. And obviously here I have an upside, if we don't do this, that at least the baptisms will be much easier, at least filling them. So plug for the deacons there. The sidewalk. Many of you may have seen our wonderful little orange cone out there. It's not for aesthetic purposes. That was to hopefully help prevent you from tripping and falling. When you live in this part of the country, you occasionally get frost and other things that cause upheaval, and it's time to replace the sidewalk out there. And I don't know if everybody gets this joke or not, but Chuck Norris was kind of Rambo before Rambo was Rambo. And in a lot of movies, he'd walk in with his one gun and take out 100 bad guys with one shot. So that was Chuck Norris. So over time on the internet, all these Chuck Norris facts have been pushed out there that I really kind of have an affinity for. I think they're really funny. So I kind of tied it in here, was said, Chuck Norris walked down this sidewalk. And that's why it looks the way it is. I'm going to give you a couple other Chuck Norris ones just to give you kind of an idea. When Chuck Norris jumps in a lake, he doesn't get wet. The water gets Chuck Norris'd. Good. Oh, good. Hot crowd. Hot crowd. All right. Chuck Norris can have his cake and eat it too. Death once had a Chuck Norris experience. Near Chuck Norris experience. When the boogeyman goes to bed at night, he checks his closet for Chuck Norris. And then my favorite, people wear Superman pajamas, but Superman wears Chuck Norris pajamas. Bada bing. So there's your little Chuck Norris humor for the day. One of our major needs and one of the biggest costs that we have right now is the West Wing roof. And if you try to say that fast a bunch of times, you'll realize how difficult and how many times I had to practice that. West Wing roof. And this is the area where the cafeteria, over by the gymnasium, and that is basically, it's 18 years old. And so it is ending, you know, it's would normally be near the end of its life anyway with the type of shingles put on there, but it's been made worse and accelerated by the lack of insulation and therefore the ice damming that has been happening on there. That's just greatly accelerated. There is, I have pictures, multiple pictures that I can show you of just water damage that's happening everywhere. So this isn't just, oh, we kind of need to replace the roof. This is, that leaking roof is causing other systems to start failing now and having problems. So this is something that we need to deal with. And our sound system was wonderfully developed. Yeah, some of the older ones, you're getting what I'm going for here, right? Younger people, you just really don't want to know. So, you know, this was put together for the most part in the 80s. And, you know, these things will last probably longer than me, these speakers. But the things that drive them, the guts behind them, is stuff that we really have been through. Some brilliant people, lots of prayers, and some good hard work have kept these things pumping. But we've got some issues, and there's a bunch of little items on there that kind of add up to the amount that I'm going to show you that would just help preserve this in a way that, you know, it's almost like, you know, going in there and rooting out some arteries and things like that, if we want to tie it back to the body metaphor. There's some things that need to be replaced there to just make them more efficient. The numbers to actually replace the speakers themselves, which if we were starting today, we'd probably use some new modern speakers, is probably too high. You know, we'll have to talk a little bit more about that. But to replace some of the guts and some of the other things that really the AV team has been asking for 5 years is become very critical at this point. Oh, so back to that. Yeah, for those that don't know, the 80s was a big time for Rubik's Cube, boomboxes, and big hair. So maybe we'll get a little Facebook thing going where people can share their big hair photos or anything. Paul, I'm sure you've got some, right? So what this leads to, we talked about the phase one. What this leads to is a phase two. The sidewalk out front with new drainage is around $5,000. The sanctuary roof, recoating this is, of course, all getting the labor donated here, is around $5,000 to stop the leaking that's happening there. The west wing roof is around $60,000. And what that is that is a mechanism, and I won't probably do it justice, but I'll tell you from a high level, it's a thing that will actually help with the structural rigidity of the roof, as well as drastically improving the insulation of the area so that we'll have much less heat. And there's a lot that escapes through there. There's pretty much just, in a lot of cases, almost zero insulation going on there. And then will allow us to not have to deal with ripping off the roof and discarding of that and getting dumpsters and that sort of thing. So it's a very efficient thing that the facilities team has come up with. And because we don't know how the drive that I'm going to be talking about to you in a couple of minutes is going to go, we did break that up into two phases. But if we were to have enough money up front, if we knew we had enough money up front, we would do all that in one shot. We also talked about the sound system and some of the things here, some of the small items on there. And the spreadsheet that I was given added up to around $6,000 for some of the items to upgrade some of the pieces, the inner workings of the sound system. And then we go on to the other part of the west wing roof of another $30,000. So breaking that up into two pieces. But that's not all. That really wasn't a joke. There really is more things. Some additional items for prayer that maybe could have made. I guess you'd say these are honorable mention, but they're not. These are some additional items for prayer. The two HVAC units, which keep us warm in the winter and cool in the summer, they're on their last legs. And they could have made it into this phase two. And then we also have the office boiler that would be around $11,000. And each one of those HVAC units are $20,000. But to try to make it into a palatable number, and you'll see here in a second what that number is, we decided as an elder board talking with the facilities committee that it would be best to just make sure we're aware of those as a problem. And if they were to die, they'd have to be replaced immediately. But we're just going to add them to our prayer items, make you as the congregation aware of them, that those are out there and could go at any time. But we're not going to proactively include those in this second phase, but they're out there. So let's get right to the plan. So phase one, which was the parsonage, was all paid for by the church. The labor was all donated. Tremendous job done for a fraction of the cost that would have taken to do that. Phase two, all those items add up to roughly $80,000. We still have $40,000 left over to accomplish this from the church, and that leaves us with a $40,000 gap that we are now going to be coming to the church members and attenders and asking you to help us with that. We also are going to be asking you to continue to contribute the labor for this. This is how we keep the cost to the $80,000. This is materials. There's no labor in this. There's some labor in the HVAC units, but those are not in this phase. And obviously, we'd want the appropriate people doing those. So how are we going to go about doing this? Well, already, if you use our online giving system, we've already added a separate building fund. Now, you may ask yourself, well, why not just take it out of the general offering? And the reason is there's very little extra fluff, if any at all, in the general offering. So your regular tithes and offerings go to running and keeping the body here pumping and healthy. If we were to take money out of that right now, something else would suffer. So we wanted to make it clear that this was money that we would like people to consider giving on top of their normal giving. We really, if all you're going to do is say, well, I was going to give $100 this week, I'll take it from this and move it over there. You know, we're thankful that you're giving the $100, but it's really not going to help us in the end because we're just taking from something else. So we want you as a family unit to pray about how you might feel burdened towards giving to this. And one way that you can already start today or, you know, anytime coming up is to go online and you will see up at the online giving, I have a little arrow here next to, there's a separate area called the building fund where you can designate a gift specifically for the building fund. And if you're not signed up for our online giving, now might be a good time to go take a look at that. It's a real convenient, easy way. You can use check, you can use credit card. If you use a check, there's no fees. All the money goes right to the church. If you use credit card, there's a small fee that we pay, but we really appreciate any money that comes in that way. You can also set up reminders. You can have it automatically pull money from your checking account at your discretion. All of that is set up online. And we actually have over 30% of our tithes and offerings come in through this mechanism, and that's great. So you can already go up online and do that. In the pews in front of you, some helpers, some people, you know, part of the body here, put out some building fund envelopes that they printed up that you can use. Now, we didn't prepare you for this today, so we're not expecting necessarily. I mean, if you've got money on you or a check, feel free. We'll take it. Put it in the, actually, we already did the offering, didn't we? Bummer. Next week, okay? You can do that or make sure, you know, you can hand it, you can leave it out at the information desk, whatever, if you feel so impelled that you have to give today. But what we're shooting for is we would like people to pray about this and to think, how can you give between now and the end of May? So that gives you some time to think about that, to pray about that, to talk about that as a family unit and say, how do I feel about contributing to this? What has the Lord laid on my heart? What is our family unit going to give to this to help the Webster Bible Church? I guess this would kind of be our skeletal system and our skin organ, you know, our shell that keeps us so that we can keep meeting here. What part of this am I going to play in it? Now, we've kind of put out there, we have roughly 100 family units inside of Webster Bible Church. So just doing some simple math, if every family unit gave $400, we would make that $40,000. That's just simple math. Now, we know there are people out there because there's people that have already come and talked to us about this that are going to give more than $400, and praise the Lord for that. I think the Bible makes it very clear that you give, you know, as a cheerful giver, but you also give with what you're able to give. And I think we have a pretty good little pericope within the Bible that says, you know, where the Lord was basically telling him, you know, I'm pretty impressed with what that widow is giving of her money. You know, and they're like, it's just a little bit, but it was what she could give. So we know there's people that are going to give more than that, and praise the Lord, please do. It will help us reach our goal quicker. If you can't give $400, that's okay too. If you can give $50, $100, whatever, give that. Give what the Lord puts on your heart to do that. We only put that 400 number out there as kind of like, just let you know kind of the magnitude of what we're looking at here. We also want you to pray for this, not only for your own participation in it, but just pray that this will be successful. Over the next couple of weeks, we will keep you updated on how this is doing and how this is progressing. And hopefully, we can all rejoice as we get closer to this and show that the body's coming together and it's trying to produce. I guess we're trying to grow a new limb or something like that. I'm trying to relate it back to the body there. We're trying to repair a system that's going bad, and we need a little bit of help with this. So we're asking the church to participate in that. And we'll continue to have those envelopes available. There'll be some available at the welcome desk that you can take home and pray about. And you know what? If you don't have one of those envelopes, just write building fund on another envelope. I'm sure it will find its way into the right place. So going forward, so we've got this phase two that is really, these are the hot items that we've identified that if we don't take care of these, bigger problems are going to start to happen. I mean, can you imagine if all of a sudden in the middle of this, something went on this sound system? I mean, maybe you're praying about that right now, I don't know. But if something were to go on that, we'd have a real difficult time communicating to an audience this large without our sound system. If all of a sudden water started pouring in, and don't, you know, kid yourselves, I thought about having somebody do that, but we thought maybe that wouldn't go over so well. And we had some volunteers. I won't say who they were, but we're willing to be up there with a hose to make sure that people right now got sprinkled with water, just to emphasize that. But and there's no rainstorm going on now, so you can't see that. But we have this phase two that we need to deal with right now. But we don't want to pull the wool over your eyes and say, this is it. This is all we've got going on here. There's other things that we're watching. We've already told you about two of them, or three of them, the two HVAC units up there and the boiler in the office area. They really could go at any time, and don't be surprised if all of a sudden we're standing up in front of you and saying, guess what? One of the items. Maybe you'll already notice because you'll be either a little warmer or a little cooler than you want to be. But there's additional items that are on our watch list over the next 3 to 5 years. There's the east roof that has not been plagued by as much ice damming, but is nearing the end of its life. You've probably, it's no surprise to you, the upper parking lot. You've seen that. It's seen its better days, and it's nearing the end of its life. The gym floor, this isn't an urgent thing, but we had to rip up the gym floor for both safety reasons as well as potential mold issues that were happening because there isn't a proper drainage underneath it. We don't want to leave it like that. We do outreaches there. It's a little bit of a safety hazard, but it's not of the same level of priorities as these phase two items, but it's something we do want to deal with at some point. So these are some additional items. And going forward, when you come to the budget meetings, you're going to see line items for an allocation into this building fund of at least $10,000 a year. Do we think that's going to cover all these things? Probably not. What's the Lord going to do with Webster Bible Church over the next 3 to 5 years? Well, hopefully as a healthy body, and this goes beyond our facility. This is people getting involved in small groups. This is people inviting their friends. This is people going out and being good Christian witnesses and making it something that people are like, I want to be like this person. And we don't know what Webster Bible Church is going to do over the next 3 to 5 years. Maybe we'll grow and we'll have additional funds coming in. We don't know. Maybe someone will bequeath us a large gift. We don't know what's going to happen in the next 3 to 5 years. But we don't want you to be blindsided by these things. This is what's coming up over the next 3 to 5 years. But for now, the Lord gives us grace and resources to deal with what we're doing with today. So our today is phase two, which is this $80,000 where we have set aside 40, and we need your help in pulling in that additional 40. So what I'm hoping that we can do in a future presentation, maybe as I continue to get older and Lord willing, and I'm still able to do this and you still want me to, that I'll be able to stand up here and go back to, remember when we did that major renovation? You know, it won't be a lot of things people can see, but we can talk about the roofs and how we put a new, you know, 40-year roof on there, and we won't have to deal with that for another 40 or 50 years and that sort of thing, and we can all be part of that.